Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Welcome. This is the program where we look at all issues of life from the perspective of a biblical worldview and from the perspective of a father. I'm a father of five. And my children are being raised in a strange world, a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and 64% of children are latchkey by 6 years of age. They live virtually without their mother. It's a world without relationships, and we are trying to put this thing back together. Well, Christmas time is typically a time for relationships. It's a time where parents buy good gifts for their children, and it's a great time a lot of times. Now, you know, I was just reading recently, Dave, in an article written by a modern psychologist. He recommended that families not celebrate holidays like Christmas, or if they did, only do so for a day or two. Because Christmas can be a time where relationships really come apart. That doesn't need to be the situation. Of course, if you come at Christmas with the wrong worldview, I can see how the whole holiday could come apart in selfishness, me, it's all about me sort of a approach to life. And you know what? You're going to wind up with a lot of conflict in a situation like that where people come in with that sort of worldview. Well, we've got all these catalogs coming out right now. Here's a Target advertisement. And, folks, we're not picking on Target. This is just one sample of a lot of different stores. They bring out their Christmas advertisements at this time of year. And let's just look at the worldview of this particular catalog. Well, the first thing you note is I'm looking for a new stereo system for my family because we like to listen to music together. We rarely listen to music by ourselves. Most of the time we're listening to it together as a family. But we're having a hard time finding a stereo system. You got one or two stereo systems in this advertisement, but you get all these iPods. It's an iPod. I guess it's all about me. It's a me pod. It's an all about me pod. iPods are very individualized forms of entertainment. What these young people do and what people do now is they listen to their own music because everybody knows the family doesn't listen to music together anymore, do they?
No, they don't. And you're going to have a hard time finding a stereo system to play your music collection. I've seen it. It's very hard to find somebody to play 45 records anymore.
They republish some good stuff now and then on CDs and DVDs. But speaking of that, there's an awful lot. In fact, the first 2 to 3 pages of the Target catalog are just computer games. Apparently, computer games, huge part of Christmas presents in this day and age, a very individualized form. Again, non-relational entertainment. You don't want relationships. You don't want children playing together. You want them playing separately and preferably with maybe a little Ritalin in the system to keep them away from others and sort of in their own little world and be sure that they are connected to that television set, plugged in for hours at a time. You know, I think video games can contribute to a very peaceful home, Dave.
Oh, it's much cheaper than a babysitter or much cheaper than having to take your time and make a relationship with your child. So you can put them in front of that video game. They can consume many, many hours. In the meantime, the house didn't burn down. So, you know, from a certain worldview, it's a win-win situation.
All right, let's look further in the Target catalog. Here is here are toys for girls, and we have Barbie. Barbie Goes to Hollywood. Apparently she's not attending the strip joint, but she's getting close. She's not dressed well.
She's not dressed well?
No. And, you know, I'm not sure what the worldview behind Barbie is, but my understanding is she does not grow up and marry Ken and then have 6 children and homeschool them. That is not the way the story ends with Barbie. As far as I know, she has her own career. They sort of live their own lives. And then she dies a sort of frustrated, desperate death, having not fulfilled any of her dreams.
Yeah, but she keeps her figure all the way to the grave.
Okay. All right. The worldview behind Barbie. And, well, anyway, this is sort of the worldview behind the catalog as you keep rolling through it. You know what's interesting here, Dave, just a remark on the side. Girls are wearing lingerie. You don't go to lingerie department anymore for lingerie. You just go to the regular clothing department. They're wearing lingerie downtown. Have you seen this? Maybe you shouldn't have, but have you seen it?
No, but the outerwear is becoming more and more resembling the innerwear.
Yeah. What's the worldview behind that? I guess there's,
Well, we know what the worldview behind that is, don't we? Ladies and gentlemen, what in the world do we buy for our children? We want to buy good gifts for our children. That's biblical. We're going to establish that in a moment. But what do you get? How do you buy good gifts for your children this Christmas time? We'll be back in just a moment to talk about the worldview behind gifts on Generations. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and today, buying good gifts for your children. You've got to work at it. It's not easy. Dave, before we get into this, I got to tell you a story. When we were young, my dad really got into Christmas for a period of time, and he was buying a lot of gifts. And I can remember the peak Christmas. He must have had 200 gifts, and it was a big family. We had eight of us. And he had been buying these gifts for a long time. And so Christmas Eve, he's pulling them all out, and we're laying them all in different piles around the Christmas tree or whatever it was. And he must have had some 200 gifts laying there. And my little brother, Eric, he couldn't have been more than about 8 or 9 at the time, turns to Dad when he's all done and said, looked at all the presents and said to Dad, "Is that all?" It was utter silence, you know, one of the more awkward moments in our family's life. And my brother has never forgotten that. We've not allowed him to forget it. But that was the peak season. After that, we did not see quite as many presents as we had that particular Christmas. But, you know, I think a lot of fathers and mothers want to give good gifts to their children, but, you know, there's the potential of creating materialism in their hearts and stirring up that self-centeredness during birthdays and Christmas and other times that we give gifts. Is this a biblical thing, Dave, to give gifts to our children?
Well, first off, you don't have to worry about stirring up selfishness and materialism in your children. It's already there. You don't stir it up. You don't create materialists. They are materialists.
Well, Luke chapter 11 and verse 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, you going to give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Jesus assumes that the giving of gifts to children is normative for fathers, even as our Heavenly Father loves to give us good gifts. And, of course, the issue here is as we receive the Holy Spirit, this is edifying. This is going to be a good thing for us. Most importantly, the thing that should govern the giving of gifts has got to be edification. That is, we give good gifts to the building up of our children, to the strengthening of them. And I wonder how many parents go to Target or Walmart or any of the other stores and ask themselves, how am I going to edify my child? How am I going to build him up as a godly Christian man or as a godly Christian woman as I purchase a Christmas gift or a birthday gift for him?
So when they're going down the aisles, you'll hear parents sometimes dialoguing with one another, and they'll say something like, "Well, this will make them happy. They really want this slut Barbie," so they go get that without any thought about what kind of character it will develop in the child or what kind of long-lasting joy towards aiming them towards adulthood and dominion is going to be placed in there by that gift. You can get a doll, but the choice of the doll may make a big difference in how that child views their place in life.
I think it has to do with the purpose of buying gifts. We are buying these gifts to build our children up, to give them some vision for life. And if we're just giving them gifts to encourage their materialism or to encourage their turning materials into idols, then that's not going to be beneficial to them. The first thing I think we have to do is distinguish between need and want. Need and want. What do our children need? What would benefit them versus what they want? We shouldn't, obviously, sometimes need and want corresponds, and that's a good thing. And maybe that's part of child training, is making sure that our children begin to want the things they need.
We want to give them gifts that stir up good imaginations. I mean, there are places for imagination toys. We have no problem giving our boys little soldiers to play with where they think through mock battles and strategies and so forth. But that's a legitimate role for boys and men to participate in protecting lives and property. On the other hand, a lot of times they'll want things that are destructive to themselves. Oh, say like a computer game, where they'll spend hours and hours and hours separate from relationship learning to be selfish. And see, that would be an example of my child wanting a gift of bread and me giving him a stone, or
right.
or he wants a fish and I give him a scorpion. These are things that can harm them, and we have to be on the vigil for what is the potential harm of this gift to my child, and what is its potential edification. We need to weigh these very carefully.
I remember a song that somebody once wrote, a tremendous song. It's called Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. I thank God for unanswered prayers. Our Heavenly Father cares about us such that sometimes He does not answer our prayers. He does not give us the things we ask for because we ask for them wrongly or because they would not be edifying for us. We would consume them upon our lusts, etc. So, you know, sometimes we need to thank our Lord for unanswered prayers. In the same way, our children will sometimes ask us for things that we should not give them. But, you know, that's not to say that everything our children want must be assumed to be something that would be unedifying for them. Because sometimes our children do want things that will be good for them, will be edifying. It's just, it takes wisdom for the parent to distinguish between those that will edify and those that won't edify, the difference between wants and needs. One of the other things that we have learned in buying presents for our children is we want to buy things of value for them. You know, there's a lot of cheap China junk out. We call it cheap China junk. You know what I'm talking about, the plastic things you can buy out there. You can buy 10 plastic toys for $20 or maybe a really good book for $20. I mean, what's the difference? Well, one of the differences is going to be quantity in terms of the number of presents that are sitting under the tree or that are sitting there for their birthday. So you got to make that decision. Are you in there for quantity or are you in there for quality? You're in there to get some cheap things that may not last that long and may not have any real value for them outside of maybe a week of fun. Or will you get them a book that could be really interesting and edifying and a book that they could read for several times, many times throughout their growing up years?
So you're teaching them by the gift that you're giving to have a vision for the future instead of for the here and now. If you give them some of the cheap China junk, It'll give them joy for the here and the now. Tomorrow will be broken in the trash. But if you give them something of value, something that'll last, something that they may even have to take care of, you're giving them a vision for something beyond the moment of today, looking down the future and planning. And that will guide them as they're adults to make good financial decisions, to plan for families, and to eventually think in terms of eternity.
And we're talking about a gift here that has that redeeming value in developing the character and intellect of a child. Here's an example. You know, if you're going to get a go-kart for your boy, would you get a go-kart that's already assembled? And, you know, that those run about $1,100 average. Or why not get a kit? Why not get a go-kart kit and have him build the go-kart? So he's actually developing his skills, his abilities, his intellect through the process. And, you know, the kits will run about half the price of the ready-assembled go-karts. So they are cheaper, and the end result could be a lot more edifying and productive for the child.
Or you might just get him a few feet of tubing steel and a welder.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Right. Or, you know, you can get games that that exercise the brain a little bit. I realize there's a lot of games out there that don't exercise the brain that much. We don't like to get those kind of games. They tend to be, you know, the type that that rely on the luck of the draw or the providence of the draw.
The object of the game is very important here. We actually have a game that I'm considering getting rid of. It's the game of Monopoly.
Yeah.
I think that reinforces a non-biblical, un-Christian view of the world where it's all about me taking away from you. So it actually encourages envy. The game Risk, where you want to take over the whole world and control it and feed your megalomania.
Yeah.
Some of these games actually have bad objects. And I've seen Christian bookstores try and redeem some of these. One I saw lately was called Bibleopoly.
Yeah.
And instead of building hotels, you build mega churches. So, you know, each his own, I suppose.
Yeah, Monopoly could be salvaged, I suppose, if you had, you know, a tithing thing going or maybe a charitable donation on a regular basis or something of that sort. Here's the other thing that we want to bring into gifts, and I brought this into play, especially as Daniel turned into his teenage years, and that is, You know, where is God calling him in his life? If you know where God is taking your son or your daughter, you can give them gifts that are appropriate to where God is taking them. So, you know, as you go out and buy gifts for your children, you want to find gifts that are appropriate for their individual interests and the direction that God is sending them. The other thing that that I mentioned earlier, and that is games that involve relationship building, you're always wanting to find games that provide for that relationship, those family nights. Do you guys spend family nights together?
We spend every night as a family night together. Now, Kevin, one of the things I've noticed is oftentimes the children will put the game aside,
yeah,
and they'll rather play with the box.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Ladies and gentlemen, the worldview of gifts. How do we get good gifts for our children? And we made the first point that you want to distinguish between what the child needs and what the child wants. And we certainly want to get gifts that have an edifying quality for our children. You want to buy fewer gifts that would provide longer lasting value to your children versus a lot of gifts that would wear out or have very short-term value to them or to your family. You want to look for gifts that have some redeeming value in developing the intellect and the character of your child. You want to buy gifts that have a lot to do with the calling that God has on that specific child's life, and games that encourage relationship building. When we get back, I want to give you some suggestions for gifts for the next Christmas season. And we'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. Wondering about good gifts for your children? What are you going to get your children for Christmas such that they won't turn into their own selfish pig and buy into the materialism that's, well, just about everywhere today? Today, the subject is, how do we find good gifts for our children? My name is Kevin Swanson, Dave Buhner in studio with us, and I just asked Derek Buhner, Dave's son, what was the best gift he ever got? He answered, without hesitation, a BB gun. Dave, sometimes I think boys like to get things that shoot other things, and you can do that constructively and destructively. My nephew shot out the window in our van several years ago.
But that was an accident.
Yeah, it was.
And he learned from that how to handle a firearm more safely.
Yes, he did. And we all learned that, didn't we? Well, you know, science projects can be great, too. We bought our son rockets or models to build hot air balloons. I've noticed those are for sale this Christmas season as well. So anything that involves the building of stuff, be very, very effective as a good present.
Dominion toys. I love blocks. You know, just your child might decide to become an architect or an engineer one day. Actually, constructing in physical space is a wonderful activity, something you can do when it's cold out on cold days. I like physical toys, toys where the children are involved.
Ladies and gentlemen, the subject today is buying good gifts for your children. And one of the recommendations we made is buy a gift that is edifying. Buy a gift that keeps on giving. That's a cliche, but it could be a gift that is a quality book that may not be reprinted, but is an excellent book and would encourage and strengthen future generations in your family. Let me recommend that you look into getting quality hardbound or leather-bound books for your family's library or for your children. Here are a number of resources available at the Czech Resource Center in Parker. One of our favorite missionary biographies, a gem of a book, is Missionary Patriarch. It's one of our very favorite family books we have read out loud to our whole family. It is called Missionary Patriarch. It is the biography of John Payton when he went to take the gospel to the South Sea cannibals. Or there's a great new book out there right now called The Adventure of Missionary Heroism. We've just begun to read this one to our children. It's by John C. Lambert. It's a reprint from the early 1900s. It's, again, a hardback book called The Adventure of Missionary Heroism. We love missionary stories. There's also a good book for girls that was just printed. It's called So Much More. The author is Elizabeth Botkin. This can be a beautiful book. It's a hardback book. A wonderful book, a wonderful gift for a teenage daughter. Again, So Much More by Elizabeth Botkin. Also, you might look at the League of Grateful Sons DVD. This is a brand new inspirational documentary produced by Vision Forum, a documentary about World War II fathers who were heroes. during the battle at Iwo Jima. Again, League of Grateful Sons. It's a DVD, a wonderful documentary available at checkbooks.com on the web, checkbooks.com, or call 877-842-CHECK. We have a lot of gifts, selections, and ideas at the Check Resource Center in Parker. Again, 877-842-CHECK or checkbooks.com, checkbooks.com on the web. You can interact with this program by emailing me, Kevin at check.org. That's Kevin at check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we will lay down a vision for the next generation.